The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones, brought to you by The Volume Podcast Network. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
And LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
Hey, what's going on? I'm LeJethro Jenkins.
Quiet Storm Jenkins, goddamn. Yeah. Hell yeah, like that.
What's going on? I'm LeJethro. You
know what I mean? ASMR
Jenkins. That motherfucking Quiet Storm. Dog, when is the last time you listened to The Quiet Storm? Do you know, bro, people are still calling in the radio to apologize to their girlfriends?
I dedicated a song to Constance Reedus back in my, you know what I mean? It was Maxwell, Fortunate, you know what I mean? Hey, dog, if I still listen to the radio, I'd be a Quiet Storm dude, you know what I mean?
Bro, like I just, because I fucking, you know, I stay up all hours of the night, right? So I'm just out here fucking, you know, hitting up motherfucking the gas station for like some fucking munchies at 1 a.m. So I hear all that shit. And this motherfucker's still out there apologizing to their girl. Like, and the Quiet Storm is like, so to Renee, Andre wants to let you know he's sorry and he misses you. Come back home, baby. And I'm
how
like, God damn,
Renee,
dog.
Like, to the radio. Like, how does he know that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that is a very 1948 assumption to make in 2021.
That's
right?
The best part of the Quiet Storm is you have to text your girlfriend like, hey, I know I fucked up, listen but listen to the Quiet Storm at 1:35 a.m. on Wednesday night.
Right? Right. Get goddamn sending out fucking, you know, all alerts like it's the fucking FDR roadside on fireside chats. Like,
all right. We've officially shit, right? Jumped into the Jenkins and Jones show. It's Thursday, February 11th. And Tyler is wearing an Arby's sweatsuit while we record.
Looking very handsome in a suit of meat.
Yes. And I am
this
wearing,
me look good in the motherfucker though.
It do that. It's got a red tint
also,
to it.
Yeah,
I'm also
that,
wearing
that smoke ring and all that shit.
Apparel from my favorite fast food restaurant.
As and we I said in the group chat, we can find better food at a gas station in the South than In-N-Out. Okay,
flat out.
Right. I do want to say Tyler. Happen. Tyler's looking good, but I have also had the meat sweats from Arby's. So.
Hold on, how you get the meat sweats? Hold on.
Because I just ate too many roast beef sandwiches and I got the meat sweats. You know
you
what
ate
mean?
Too many. Why? Because they were too delicious.
Because they were two for $2. I didn't get the meat sweat suit, but I did get the meat sweat. So, you know, I feel special. The hat looks incredible though, bro.
It does. I feel so important wearing this motherfucker.
Hey Tyler, fuck the hat. Don't ever.
I feel like I can sniff a forest fire from 400 miles away.
Right now. Right, dog, that hat is 8 feet tall, bro. That hat is taller than you if you set it beside you, dog.
I love this shit though. I look like I'm ready to fucking, you know, fuck with motherfuckers for stealing picnic baskets and shit. Right?
Are you going to wear, you're going to wear that out, right? Like, you're going to wear this places.
Yeah, why the fuck not? It's a pandemic.
Your wife is going to be like, cool. We going out, we running to Trader Joe's, throw the Arby's jumpsuit on. Let's make a run real quick.
Fuck yeah. I live to embarrass my wife, bro. That is like my love language story. So I'm all in on this shit. Yes.
You can't wait.
I do like the idea. Shar and I talk about this of the first time you like are at a group gathering with all your friends, like you have to fake that you picked up one really weird eccentricity over the last year, right? Mm-hmm. Like Shar's joke, like maybe you should just shave one of her eyebrows, you know what I mean? Or you just start pronouncing one word incorrectly, you know what I mean? You just like,
you why just do you say that? Things. Why do you say that?
Because it'd just be like a
you
like
gotta have something to show for this year of bullshit.
Like, that's exactly right. You know, yeah. Like you come back from summer
you're
vacation,
alive.
You come back from summer vacation, you know, and you have a different haircut, you know what I mean, or whatever when you were in school, and like so for Tyler. he just goes to the first gathering wearing that and refuses to acknowledge that there's anything different about him. You know what I mean? Like,
bro, 2020 was wild as fuck. I came into 2020 with a motherfucking bald head. I grew cornrows in 2020 and I didn't leave 2020 with cornrows. I left 2020 with a bald head. Like, 2020 was long as fuck, bro. When you look at it like that.
What's your homies gonna say when you pull up in the Arby's fit? You got some real ones around you in Richmond, my G.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, motherfuckers might
flame. They're gonna flame the hell out of
you. Yeah, but
it'll be fun though.
Right, but flaming is love, dog.
Right, you know? For sure.
It is what it is, man.
Hey, you can't roast beef and cheddar, bro. You know, I mean, it is what it is. It only make your powers stronger.
Yeah. I appreciate all right. The jumpsuit. Shout out to Arby's.
That was cool of you for giving. I especially for the hat, bro.
Especially the hat was the what they say, the je ne sais quoi that tops it off. The hat took it to a whole other level. I was like, oh shit, yeah.
Oh, they serious. They really they fucking with me now. You know right. What I mean?
Okay, our first topic, and this is something that all three of us believe passionately about, I think, to like a religious degree, is could we just stop trying to rank these fucking athletes, bro? Like, what is the value to anyone of trying to rank Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tom Brady, and Serena Williams in some kind of order? Like, is this the corniest thing you can do with sports? Like,
yes, it absolutely is. I hate that shit. Like, how are you going to fucking compare 98-pound Simone Biles and fucking, you know, 230-pound Tom Brady on two totally different sports? You know what I mean? Like, it's shit when people don't have shit to talk about. It's what I hear when I hear that shit. You know what I mean? That's exactly what it is. And it's not, yeah, it's boring. It's not even can a gorilla beat a bear type argument.
Because, hey, let's talk about that. Right? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, those are fun as hell. I don't want to hear a golfer versus a baseball player, though. No.
No, yeah. No. It's not interesting anymore. We have this conversation every 4 days. I'm tired of it. You know what I mean? Like, I asked Shaq about it, like a greatest conversation. He's like, dude, I don't have that conversation. That is for y'all. Yeah, but that's like, you know what I mean? Like, just enjoy the greatness. Like, we don't have to, you know, rate people in that way. You know, like, they're all incredibly good at what they do. Just enjoy it.
And it barely makes sense to do it within one sport. Right. Like, it barely makes sense to compare Michael
in different eras, yeah. You know, let alone different eras, different, you know what I'm saying? Different sports.
But Serena and Tom Brady, like, Serena's the GOAT.
What is the foundation? Like, what do you start with? You know what I mean? Like, there's no foundational way to do that. You know what I mean? It's just all opinion. The opinions aren't interesting enough to continue to do this.
I do think that there is a foundational metric, which is how much better was this person than their contemporaries. But I do think that when you throw that in the mix, you're just going to get biases over people who say, oh, I think football is a much more demanding sport than golf or whatever the fuck. And that's when shit goes out the window. You know what I mean?
And you're also going to end up with Jim Thorpe and Jackie Robinson. Yeah. Are the, you know what I mean? Are the greatest athletes of all time then, because no one else.
And Bob Cousy.
Yeah, right.
Bro, they said Satchel Paige was 93 years old in his last motherfucking MLB game when they finally integrated. But yeah, it's just like that. You know what I mean? Like we gotta motherfucking factor in like racism. And who the fuck has ever beat racism, dog? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you gotta factor in all types of shit if you're talking about the greatest ever, you know?
No, you have to factor all that in, and it's impossible, which is why to me, John said it exactly. Like, these are okay, as a sports writer. We call these summer stories. You don't have shit to cover, and that's when we bust out our Mount Rushmores. Who's a Mount Rushmore of football players from Long Beach? Who's a Mount Rushmore of rappers from Long Beach, right?
Right.
But when you're covering shit, you don't need to do that. The problem is that Twitter and social media create this vacuum where everyone feels like they're running a 24-hour TV show. You know what I mean? So they're like, it's 9 a.m. on Monday after the Super Bowl. We need something for the A block. Like,
right,
someone compare Simone Biles and Michael Jordan.
Right. We talk $200 dates on Friday, something new on Monday. You know what I mean? Back to the GOAT conversation. You can shut up. That's an option. Never forget, shutting the fuck up is an option. You know what I mean? A lot of times it's the best option.
Yeah, hey, it's never too late to stop being a bitch, as the great Pimp C once said. That's one of my favorite quotes.
That's
so ever.
Beautiful. That's, it is. Hey, I'm a, hey, bro.
Poetry.
That is, hey, bro. Was that in the Bible somewhere?
That's a scripture.
We need a Pimp C version of the Bible, dog.
That's that's definitely Old Testament. That's right. Definitely Old Testament for sure.
Hey, bro, that's spiritual. You know what I'm saying? That's beautiful.
We did
never
get
too late. It's inspirational too. Yeah, something to inspire to be. You know what I mean?
Coming out of the Super Bowl, we did get really great drunk footage of Tom Brady today, which I think John was saying was the most likable.
It's the only way that I can digest that man. Like, as if he's like, oh, he, you know, like, hey, you know what I mean? Once I saw the red hat, it was a cap. It was a wrap. You know what I mean? Like, but like, you know what I'm saying? Drunk, okay, I can see him and not, you know, throw up in my mouth, but. He's the best, I mean, I would say the best football player I've ever seen. You know what I mean? All of that. Cool. You know what I mean? But whatever. But yeah, drunk. It was funny. You, throwing you the fucking it. You said what?
You enjoyed it watching him rugby throw the Lombardi trophy.
Right. You know, his friend, it made him seem human. Like when LeBron's kids were really disinterested in congratulating him. You know what I mean? Like Nobody's less impressed with LeBron than LeBron's kids, which makes him feel normal. Seeing Tom Brady like stumble out and his friend, like, you know what I mean? Have to like help him, you know, find his way.
Wearing a knee brace, content. By the way. Stumbling drunk, wearing a knee brace.
Right.
Being held
drinking
up
by avocado liquor, I think it was.
He said avocado tequila.
whatever the fuck. That's odd.
But he did get, Bron said he's bummed out that we didn't get a Lakers parade last year because it was one of those Bronisms. What he said, I would have been walking beautifully like you.
Are we not seeing a different type of Bron than what we've seen? Like these last couple years, it seemed like he's been more open about like who he actually is. Mm-hmm. I think he feels like, you know, it's LeBron James. I think he's realized, yo, I'm LeBron James. I can do this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, and we're seeing him talk about, you know, walking beautifully, you know, things like that. He's so much more open about how he feels about things. I love seeing it.
Yeah. I definitely feel like the filter's coming off a bit. And if he gets ranked number five,
we might see him on the motherfucking smoking.
Right.
You know what I mean? Him and JR passing one around, you know what I mean?
The Lakers are probably going to need to play in the first half of a basketball game at some point this year for that to happen. But, you know, fingers crossed.
I do worry a little bit. Like, those are the things that come and bite you. Like, when, you know, it's been too easy to turn the switch on and off. But they're not. I don't see them doing against good teams. You know what I mean?
Tyler said it in the group chat, bro. Yeah. It's the like third year of college. You figured out you can start the essay at 11:01 p.m. and get it done before midnight. Like, right. And until you miss the deadline, you're gonna keep fucking around like that. You know?
Yeah,
what
but
I mean?
I want them to miss a deadline prior to the playoffs, and then like they tighten it back up. You know what I mean? They start the essay at 10 maybe, because 11. At the playoffs, that's gonna stress me out, bro. You know, y'all know I ain't good for that. Oh, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna listen to the game. I'm not even gonna watch them. I'm gonna listen on the radio on some like 1916 shit. You know what I mean?
On to be able quiet to deal storm with shit.
I love that every episode of Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by somebody, but we don't know who it is until we start the show. And today's show, last episode was brought to you by Arby's. Today's show is brought to you by The Quiet Storm.
Right. Versatility. You know what I mean? Versatility. You feel me?
The next time you're watching basketball, I've got the perfect way for you to get in on the action for free. John and Tyler. I'm talking about NBA In Play. It's absolutely free to play on the FanDuel app and features all the fun of live betting. NBA In Play turns every quarter of every game into a free contest where you can win real cash prizes. So while you're watching the game, all you have to do is predict the outcomes of plays and game props before they happen to claim your share of the prize pool. Best of all, a new contest starts every quarter of every game, giving you even more ways to win. FanDuel is the exclusive home for NBA In Play, so the action is always available right at your fingertips on the FanDuel app. The app is easy to use. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. It doesn't matter where you live or where you're traveling to, because NBA in-play is available in every state. Don't miss your shot. I like
that. Good job, Mike. Good That's job. Cute.
It's not over yet. Get in the game and download the FanDuel app to start playing NBA in-play today. All right, now back to the show. Have you guys been following the situation with the Mavs and the national anthem?
Yeah. Cuban said they weren't doing it. Then Silver said, yeah, the fuck you are. That's basically where we're at now, right?
So the timeline of events was whoever the Athletics Mavericks beat writer noticed at this point, like 2 months into the season, that they had not been playing the national anthem, and asked the team about it. And the team confirmed, yeah, we decided in November, you know, we're not playing it right now. And then there was a huge, obviously the NBA came out, Adam Silver said, no, everyone's going to play the national anthem. The Texas State Senate has introduced, I forget what the name of the legislation was, but legislation saying basically that all public events that receive any taxpayer money have to play the national anthem in Texas.
What is the point of playing the national anthem? Are we a fucking police state? You know what I'm saying? Every event, we have to play that.
And once you get the state sanctioning that you have to play the national anthem, like, bro, what are we doing here now?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because that's different. That's different from the NBA saying you have to do it. The state of Texas saying
government
you
is
have
being
to
involved.
Do it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Here's how I feel about it. I feel like the Mavericks were handling it exactly perfectly. They didn't put a press release out saying we're not going to do it. It was just like, hey, man, there's no one at the fucking games. We're not going to stop and hit play on the cassette tape to run the national anthem in the empty arena. You know,
what's the history behind why we play the national anthem every
I know
event, graduations? I seem like most large events we play in. Why?
I know that sporting events, it doesn't go back that far. I want to say it was to like the 60s or something. It may have been like a Vietnam War era, but yeah, it's not like it's not like when they were playing it before Harvard and Yale were playing football in 1904 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it was a more recent thing. And I want to say it was like a wartime move, but you know, As a youth and a college sports writer, as well as like pro stuff, I mean, I hear the national anthem probably 10 times a week, you know, when sports are being played. And at least for me, for other people who work at the games, it's just like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, let's do it. You know, we're putting a lot of pressure on this high school sophomore to not, you know, fuck up the national anthem in front of all of her friends or whatever.
For me, it's always nerve-wracking too. Like, you know what I'm saying? When I'm seeing somebody sing it, I've seen a couple people like just absolutely blow it too live. And that's never a good experience. I just don't understand. I wonder what the logic is. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah, I mean, I think it was like meant to be a show of national solidarity whenever they started it over the Vietnam War or whatever. I wish I should have done the research on when exactly it started, but it definitely was like a response to something like that.
Listen, bro, we have gotten hundreds of thousands of people, you know, renditions of people singing the anthem before sports games. And I feel like we've only got three memorable moments. I feel like Whitney at the Super
Bowl.
Whitney at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I feel like the moment where that teenage girl at the Trailblazers game forgot the words and Mo Cheeks came up to her.
Real one.
Yep. I feel like that. And I feel like Carl Lewis with the
track star. Yep,
Carl Lewis. Those are the only three memorable times that the anthem pops into our memory as sports fans. So.
And two out of three of them are people messing it up. Oh, wait. No. Was it All-Star game? Old girl from Black
Fergie.
Eyed Peas.
Fergie.
So three out of four.
Okay, so that's four. Let's make this a Mount Rushmore. Let's do a summer top four. But yeah. So those like the only memorable, you know, moments that we've ever heard the anthem.
When I hear it, I feel like we get it. Like that's what I'll be thinking when I hear it at this point.
I've always been playing sports,
going to sports events. Like, I get it. I don't think it's a big deal for them not to play it. I don't think it's un-American or like whatever that people want to make it. You know what I mean? I don't see that. I just think it's pointless right now. Maybe pointless in general.
It's especially pointless when there's no fans at the game. I mean, you know what I mean? Like it's not like the players need the extra 2 minutes, you know what I mean, before they start playing. But which was basically what Cuban said. Cuban's response to all of the outrage today was like, we never said we weren't ever going to play the national anthem again. We just haven't been playing it right now. We heard from people on our team and in the community that they've had mixed feelings about it and not feeling like the national anthem represents them. So especially given that there's no one at the games, it was a pretty easy decision to just not play it. And very similar to the Colin Kaepernick situation where he had been sitting or kneeling before during the anthem for like 4 weeks before a reporter noticed he'd been doing it. Yeah. This did not affect anything about the United States. I mean, I certainly don't think it's the Mavericks who've had the negative effect on America over the last 2 months. The way I feel about the national anthem is if you're patriotic and you love what the national anthem represents, the anthem is such a small part of that. And similarly, if you are opposed to systemic racism and you feel like the national anthem upsets you over that, kneeling during the national anthem is also such a small, like minor representation of those feelings, right? Mm-hmm. So we end up with this big fight over just the song. And it's like, I don't know. It's like it's a proxy war for the conversations we should be having. And instead of having them, we're arguing about the national anthem.
Over the damn national anthem. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly. People reducing the real shit we should talk about to talk about the national anthem and disrespecting the troops and all that.
All right. Brittany texted me and said the first time it was played was a baseball game in the Civil War and that it was World War I. So further back than I thought that it started being played more regularly. And I think World War II since then, it's been super regular. So,
but I get like, Civil War, then World War One. I mean, it means something when it's like decades, you know what I mean? In between hearing it, when you start playing it, like it's the McDonald's of songs right now, bro. They're on, you know, like it's on every corner, you know what I mean? Like you hear it all the time. It loses its meaning and purpose. I mean, to those who are super amped over the damn national anthem, but.
Anyway, we'll just keep talking about the national anthem instead of what the players want, you know, people to focus on, or what the people who are patriotic want people to focus. We'll just talk about the national anthem. It's easier, I guess.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Did you guys see KG's comments? Basically pulling a 180 on the quote you always hear from old heads, saying he didn't say dudes today couldn't have played in his era. He said dudes from his era couldn't play in today's NBA.
I don't. Does KG know the era he played in? Like, that's an important.
They had some dogs in that era, bro.
Yeah, like you know, I associate KG with the 2000s. Like, that's when he was at his peak and his. Like, I feel like the 2000s set so much shit in motion for the NBA we have today. Like, you know, the 2000s were the first time we saw, you know, stretch fours with guys like Dirk and Sheed. You know what I mean? You know, it just doesn't add up to me to why he would say 20 years ago, like his era, wouldn't work.
30 years ago, though.
Yeah, that you know what? When I before he doubled down, that's what I thought he made
the NBA right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought he made the common mistake that I make of thinking 20 years ago was 1990. You know what I mean? I still can't wrap my head around that 20 years ago was 2001. But you know, and I can see him saying, "Yo, 1990 Joe Dumars with the hand check and wouldn't make it in today's league." There's an argument there, but saying 01 AI wouldn't survive in today's league, bro.
But also. On 01 AI's team was who? Who was the point guard?
Erickson was one of the worst motherfucking players. Bro, me and my homies.
Not a good shooter. Listen. Not a good passer. Duh, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like I've
handled the ball. He entered offense and disappeared.
No, I feel like I've told y'all before that me and the homies, like in college, we would get high and play when the Sixers had a national televised game play. Let's watch Eric Snow and how terrible he is and laugh at him. And how that shit was high comedy.
Right,
yeah. We used to laugh our ass off at how terrible he was.
Usually, like somebody is good at something. Erick Snow was a serviceable defender, but he just entered offense. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, A-High, that team was who was the best player on that team? I think it started with an M.
Who, Mutombo?
No, no, the McKee. You said what?
McKee,
McKee.
Aaron McKee.
That's what you give A-High. He's going against monsters. And AI, 5'11", 6 foot, 160, soaking wet, has to go to war with fucking Aaron McKee.
against Kobe
and Eric Shaq. Snow, an old ass Mutombo, and that big ass finger. You know what I mean?
So you guys agree with KG just about bigs, basically. I mean, right? Because I would say, like, reading, you know, when you read his quote, he's more so talking about bigs, and then he says, okay, and thinking about Steph and Clay and the revolution at the guard play, maybe, I think he said maybe even the guards couldn't play, but he definitely meant it originally, really talking about post players, which I understand that argument. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the pace is higher today, and these are, you know, the bigs have to be able to space the floor. And
we wouldn't have seen Rick Smith.
Yeah, we wouldn't have seen Rick Smith getting up and down the court and popping out for a corner three. You know what I mean? Right,
that would happen. You know what I mean? But, I mean, like, Bobby Jackson was, what, a sixth man and still would have got buckets. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's some dudes that weren't even guys that would have still been solid. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, I think 30 years ago, fool.
Yeah, I think 30 years ago was a conversation Mills. To have, and not 20 years ago, though.
Well, and he's talking about...
I do appreciate the sentiment, though. I do appreciate, like,
the play. Well, because we generally believe. I mean, I think most sports fans naturally are attached to the era that they grew up watching. I mean, yeah. Another reason the GOAT debate is really stupid to me. The GOAT debate is really who was great when you were 19 years old.
Right.
You know
right.
I mean? Yeah. Like, and
unless you're reasonable, like me.
Right. Like you and only yes. you. but you know, KG's comments, he's really talking about Dirk. He's like, I was watching, you know, I'm watching Dirk play, and I'm like, you know, how are these, you know, fours and fives when I was playing, how are these dudes supposed to go out and guard at the 3-point line and all this other shit? Like,
he's referring to Dirk as like Dirk couldn't have
done. He seems to see Dirk as the before and after line.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Bro. KG came up as a four in the fucking power forward golden era, right? Like there was KG, there was Timmy, there was Dirk, there was Sheed, there was Jermaine O'Neal, there was Chris Webber. That, you know, there was just so many players who just kind of shifted the way basketball was being played, especially at his position. So I honestly don't see how he has this big of a blind spot right now, unless he's talking about fives, because I feel like so many fours.
He said players.
Okay, yeah. But I feel like so many, especially power forwards from KG's era, would definitely thrive today. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel Sheed was way before his time, bro. Way before his time.
It's, I mean, I and maybe I wish he would have talked, to be honest with you, I wish whoever was interviewing him would have just got him to talk about this for another 10 or 15 minutes. Because he's definitely not just bullshitting. Like, you can tell he's articulating a point he's clearly thought about. Maybe he's just talking about the 3-point line. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe he's literally just saying, like, the expectation of being able to space the floor and play offense and defense so much further away from the basket is what would have just been insurmountable. I'm with you. I mean, you're just not going to convince me that the other fours of that era couldn't. The centers, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a completely different game. You look at some of the lineups that are rolled out there. To be honest with you, I know he's old as hell, but we're kind of seeing, if you watch the Lakers games, Marc Gasol looks a little bit like you took a center from an older era and plopped him in the middle of a fast game. You know what I mean?
But Marc Gasol, he was kind of, you know, he came in different. Power came in different too. They could shoot. We didn't really see that. You know what I mean? Like, where a guy like Jared Allen, when I talked to him, he was saying that he's working on his jumper now. Well, you know what I'm saying? So I guess I can see what centers it'll be much more.
It's just defensively, like you're running the, you know, you're trying to do pick and roll defense, you know, out towards the 3-point line, and some of these dudes that can't move. I mean, you see it in the NBA, even with some of the bigger, more dominant centers. That's one of the things that's so impressive about Joker, who KG brought up too, is like he looks like a big fat old center. You know what I mean? But his footwork is so good that he can do some of that stuff.
But I think the main point was, this is the best basketball we've seen. These dudes be out here cooking. And a lot of people talking shit couldn't have, you know, did what they did in their time period, or even been on the court with a lot of the dudes is doing it now. And I think that's the main point, and I agree.
Yes, and that was absolutely his main point. He said, you know, the game is different, it's creative, it's competitive, it's saucy.
Right, talk a bunch of shit and you'll get that ACL snatched. You feel me? They snatching ACLs out there now, bro. Like, hey, could you imagine what you have to, like he said, that, you know, you can't really, you know, hand check like you used to. You got to use your feet on defense. You know what I mean? Mm. Hey, A lot of people that was eating back then would not be eating.
I get him on that. James Harden would have shot a lot of free throws. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's already shooting a lot of free throws. You put some of these dudes that are used to being able to turn you physically on that dude.
Do you remember how Rodman guarded Shaq? Do you remember that? He leaned in with his forearm, locked his back leg, and put all his body weight on the man.
That's a flagrant two now.
Bro, you got to sit out for a week after you do some shit like that.
KCP just got a flagrant 30 seconds before we started recording because he accidentally bumped the back of someone's head when he was landing from a block attempt.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Let's talk about something other than basketball because Tyler was talking about this on Twitter and this shit was cracking me up. But Aunt Jemima or Aunt Jemima, depending on your preference, has been retired, and now it is syrup by what is the name of this shit? The Pearl
Milling Company.
The Pearl Milling Company. What?
Listen, bro. I promise you, I'm having fun with this. This shit is funny to me because there's going to be people. Oh, you got to make everything about racism. No, motherfucker, we're laughing at how ridiculous motherfuckers are. But to try to distance yourself from Aunt Jemima. And then to make that shift to Pearl Milling, where there's like in the title, bro, there is a valuable resource and a way to the laborious act of obtaining said resource. Like that is how you distance yourself from slavery, bro. That's how you know a resource and the way we get this resource. You know, the labor involved in getting this resource. That is how they chose to distance themselves from slavery. And that shit was funny as fuck to me, bro.
It sounds like a fucking mayonnaise company too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to eat Pearl Miller. Yeah. Or whatever the hell, you know what I mean? Like, no, it sounds like it tastes oppressive. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That shit is trash, dog. Like, who's in the room when they make these decisions, dog? Crazy.
Dog. Like I said, bro, Pearl Milling is just cotton picking. And like one of those 1940 tuxedos with the long ass tails in the back. Like that's all that shit is, bro. It's just cotton picking, like dressed up in a way with like white gloves and like tap dancing shoes, bro.
I know I'll never pour Pearl Milling over any of my pancakes.
I am not there buying
Pearl Milling.
There won't be Pearl
Milling in my house. Not unless they hit up the volume and then we're like.
No, we love
Watch
the Pearl Milling.
Pearl Milling.
Hey, send me a sweatsuit, Pearl Milling company. Right, right. I'll throw that shit on happily.
Right. I do want that, bro. I low key, like the whole time I've been looking at this sweatsuit, extremely jealous. You know what I mean? I mean, that is the red and orange together. Bro, it got a hoodie. You are ready. You know what I mean?
So are you guys
tell me I don't look like I can stop out a forest fire right motherfucking now.
Right now. This moment.
Tell me where your forest fires are. I'm coming to stop them.
I'm gonna tweet out. We don't have the podcast up on video yet, but I will tweet out a picture on the Jenkins and Jones Twitter account of Tyler's fit.
Take a picture of me right motherfucking now.
Right now.
Right
now.
Shift Apple 3. It's done. Let's go. So are you guys saying Aunt Jemima gets subbed out for Pearl Milling Company and you weren't walking around feeling like America had taken a large step forward in terms of racism today?
Bro, Pearl Milling Company was the plantation Aunt Jemima worked at, dog. Like that.
Right.
I don't know how that's a shit, but goddamn.
Well, y'all let me say this.
Bro, motherfuckers can't even let us have pancake syrup, dog. They still want to remind us of trauma during
right.
breakfast, bro.
Like the way to fix racism is racism. You know what I mean? Like
it's kind of like how the fact that they're going to be playing the national anthem at the Dallas Mavericks game tomorrow is not doing anything for the homeless veterans outside the VA in Long Beach, California. You know what I mean? It's almost like we should address something other than the symbolic representations of the problems we have in our country. Exactly. Anyway, John, we have we have one of John's patented, I was golfing and had a thought about animals thoughts. And I want you to just expound to us on what you're thinking about the existence of animals on Tuesday morning this week.
Honestly, I was watching videos of animals. Like, I love like nature shit. You know, that's my thing. You know what I mean? I'll smoke, get stupid high, and just watch a nature documentary. And it's like my favorite thing ever. You know what I mean? But it's just crazy that, like, animals wake up and it's kill or be killed at every moment. Like, I watched a video of some hyenas trying to rip the innards out of a lion through its anus. And I'm thinking, this is happening right, could be happening right now on a fucking Tuesday. On a Tuesday. They couldn't put, like, bro, when can you, like, when can you live? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I was an animal, I would need therapy. You know what I'm saying? Like, could you imagine existing like that? I'm at home in my air conditioning, you know, complaining about the most petty shit. And they're trying to rip the innards out of you through your anus. Can you think of a worse way to go out? You know what I mean? Like a pack of hyenas, you know what I mean? But the thing is, though, people are like, oh, poor lion. The reason the lion was there because it ate one of the baby hyenas. You know what I mean? I saw a lion get stomped out by some bulls recently. And they're like, damn, that, they had to do the lion like that. The lion was trying to eat them. Yeah. They literally had to do the lion like that. It's kill or be killed at every moment, even weekdays. 7 days a week, 300. You can't sleep. You know, bro, it's crazy. I saw a particular monkey. I don't know what type it was, but a lion climbed up the tree, and there was another lion waiting for when the monkey jumped out. Like, what does the monkey do in that situation on a Wednesday afternoon, bro? It should be out at lunch eating Arby's. It is running from lions that are climbing trees. Are you kidding me? Like, this is what we got to deal with on Wednesdays? Motherfucker! Like, damn, bro. At least wait to Thursday to get this shit popping. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Damn, bro. Crazy. It's an insane existence to me.
It is, and I have put a lot of thought into that shit too. Like there's nights, I know y'all Southern California motherfuckers ain't gonna be able to relate to me on this one, but there's nights I hop out and it's like 20 degrees.
Stop it.
True that. There's times I hop out on some nights and it's like 20 degrees. And I'm like, bro, I need to get inside. I need to get back to the crib. And then I think about all the animals I'm out. Like, yo, animals don't have an inside.
Bro,
that's the crib to them. That 20 degrees I just hopped out of, that is their house, bro. It is like squirrels out here running around booty butt ball naked in this weather. Booty holes out getting frostbitten. I can't understand it, dog.
Booty butt naked.
Booty butt naked in minus 18 degrees weather, dude, dog.
Moose.
How's like squirrel butt hole gonna handle that, dog?
Bro, there's moose out in 5 feet. You know, like of snow. You know what I mean? Like
that shit too.
Just running through that shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Look like Jerry Rice. You know what I mean? High knees, perfect form. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, bruh, look, if these dudes had thumbs, do you know how fucked we would be in the game, dog? let them grow a thumb and learn how to open a door. Bro, it's a wrap, dog.
Bro, you give a bear some thumbs. We got to get the fuck off this planet. You give a bear some
thumbs. The world is there, dog.
We are out of here.
Tyler would literally be smoking the bear right now having a damn podcast, bro. It would change their entire existence. We be the motherfuckers out there booty butt naked trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? Bears will be in our podcast place. You know what I mean?
The bear would be in Tyler's house wearing a hoodie with Tyler.
Right. Roast yeah. beef, dog. Can you imagine, dude? Bears are literal monsters. Literal. That's why I'm talking about, like, you create the Candyman. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like Freddy Krueger. Have you seen a fucking bear? Have you seen a bear?
Have you seen a bear in a picture scaled to a human is the scariest question. Like, have you seen a fucking paw put up to a human's face? Have you seen one of those pictures?
Dude, Freddy Krueger would jump in a bear's dream and the bear would beat the dog shit out of Freddy. Jason is 7'5". A bear would laugh in the face of Jason. He would tear him into smithereens. I was going to be scared of Jason. Like, bro, bears actually exist. You know what I mean? They actually are here on the planet. And I'm supposed to be, I go to sleep at night, I'm scared of Jason. Ooh, fuck Jason. I actually have to live on this planet with monsters, dog. Lions climbing trees? What do you do if a lion's chasing you? You die. That's what you do.
Bro,
you
I'm scared know what of, I'm you scared become of food. Dogs. I'm scared of dogs chasing
bro,
me, bro.
Bro, dog. I mean, like, we are. The
dog is a third my size, and I'm when still afraid of it. When it's
physicality, humans.
We are the worst. If we didn't have thumbs in our intelligence, dog, that is the only advantage that we have.
Bro, we look at LeBron James. Like he's so athletic for a human. I saw a deer like take a like drop step and jump 10 feet in the air, bro. A fucking deer, bro. And on athleticism on the planet, they're probably like mid as fuck. You know what I mean? They're dirt weed when it comes to athleticism. And they would clown us like, you know, at the combine, bro. You know? We ate shit.
We need an animal combine. That's right, what we need. Yeah, we need the animal combine.
The animal combine. I'm tapping in for that. When we get bored in sports media, run an animal combine.
Yeah,
run
leave that the goat shit. Conversation behind.
Goat conversation will never mention it again.
Well, bro,
did you see that lion run the 40? You feel me? That thing was moving you. Hey.
But do you know the one physical thing that humans are the best in the world at in the animal kingdom over this? All other animals?
I mean, gripping things?
No. When we take away thumbs and intelligence, like pure physical feats, there is one act that we do better than all other animals in the animal kingdom. Only one.
Sit on our ass?
Only one physical act.
Is it sitting on our ass?
Please
it's the complete opposite. It's endurance running. No animal in the animal kingdom can run longer than we can.
Because pacing takes intelligence.
There's that. Exactly. Like, bro, motherfuckers on weekends in Cambridge, Massachusetts, just run 26 miles
for
on a November Saturday for fun, right? Yeah.
That is the one thing.
They don't even have anyone trying to pull their guts out through their butt.
Right. Yeah. Somebody told me that cheetahs have such little body fat that if they didn't catch their prey, they could die.
They would overheat if they run too fast for too long.
So like they have to catch their prey
in a certain eight second window. Yeah.
Hey, I don't want to get too sciencey on you, but if you've ever looked at some of the models they're doing on dinosaurs, like the structures of their bodies, they ask themselves the same question. It's like the Tyrannosaurus Rex basically would have had to have eaten every eight steps in order to just have the calories. You know what I'm saying? So that's why they think now, like, it probably wasn't really a hunter. It was probably a scavenger because the same thing with the cheetah. If he was chasing shit down.
With how muscular it was, right.
Yeah, he would have, you know, tough shit. It's the same thing.
To keep that figure. Yeah. You know, to keep that muscle mass, that V taper with the baby ass arms, you know, who'd have had to eat every eight steps.
Hell, that's something I never considered, but it makes complete sense. Like, imagine a fucking elephant trying to eat a rabbit. You know what I'm saying? How would that work out for the elephant? You know what I mean?
What's so wild to me is like elephants are so intelligent and they like show emotion. Like, they'll see a carcass of another elephant and stop another elephant. And stop and like grieve.
Respects. Bro.
But then it will stomp the fuck out of another animal. The balance of an elephant.
Yes.
Like, they will square off with your ass and beat your ass. And it is emotional as well.
Yes, they understand. They're all about eliminating threats. So, but have y'all heard the story about the elephant conservationist? I think his name was Anthony Lawrence.
No. Mm-mm.
This shit, this is something like, I don't know what the fuck is after this life, but this story makes me think that there might be some like connectivity or some shit that, you know, some continuance here. And I'm gonna tell you what happened here. So there was a conservationist in Africa, and he would, you know, take in, you know, abandoned elephants, abuse elephants, and nurture them and, you know, release them into the wild. And, you know, during this time, the elephants that he released would click off, and they clicked off into two herds, you know, two separate herds that were like, you know, 50 miles apart and they're grazing and shit. And when he died, the day he died, both different herds, 50 miles away, they both trekked back and stayed there for like 2 days after he died and then trekked away.
Bruh.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Bruh. And it would be a story involving elephants.
Mm-hmm.
If elephants any animal have
they're the ones. I mean, and we talk about how intelligent we are. I think elephants are the ones. And I mean, dude, we talked about this before, but how intelligent dolphins are to actually put images.
Yes, they say into they other dolphins' they talk brains, in pictures.
Right,
talk
bro.
In pictures.
They talk in, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Don't what do you mean? Hold on.
Explain. High quality imagery and audio.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Explain that.
Dolphins, you know, we all know the echo, yeah. You know, communication that dolphins right. do, but they don't have words. They speak in patterns that they interpret as pictures. So like a dolphin would say, you know, there's fish over here and shoot the fish sound to a dolphin, and the dolphin would be like, okay, what I'm hearing is the, you know, there's gaps here in the sound wave. So that's what fish look like. You know what I mean? So they communicate in pictures to each other. Do you follow me there?
Yeah. So but like they're sending out a sonogram and they're receiving a sonogram, not right. just the
right.
noise. Okay. That makes so sense, like especially underwater. Yeah.
It's like for special people. Like we're like, if you see sounds, you're like,
you have a synesthesia. Level. Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? For them, it's just like, it's Tuesday because it's the fucking animal kingdom.
Right,
and they're just that's every moment there, you know, that's crazy to me. I mean,
when we're done recording tonight, I'm gonna go for my nightly constitutional, and when I see the raccoons and skunks in my neighborhood and shit, I'm gonna be extra respectful.
You should salute them.
I will, especially the raccoons. You don't want to get into a fight with a fucking raccoon, bro. We got
bro. I feel like raccoons don't take any fights that they know you don't want to take. I feel like raccoons understand when we want no problems with them and they will leave you the fuck alone. Because I've had a few raccoon conversations and every time I'm like, bro, this ain't what I want. Cool, it's like the raccoons man. Understand. You know
you ever accidentally
stall me out, my G.
You ever accidentally stumble onto a possum backed into a corner, bro?
Cool. The thing that bothers me about possums is how ugly they are. Like they're ugly. They're so ugly, that is part of their defense. Like, damn, like a motherfucker that has got to be able to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I can't beat up something that ugly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they are so
crazy. Well, this has been another edition of Animal Kingdom on Jenkins and Jones.
It's going to be the last. It won't be your last. Trust me.
And what was one of the first times I was following you guys on Twitter like 10 years ago or something. You guys had a conversation about animals getting guns.
Yeah, I remember I was thinking, how did the animal kingdom feel? You know what I mean? When like guns were invented. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what was the gorilla thinking the first time his homie got shot? Like, oh damn, like these this ain't normal. And then I thought about the argument that went on when he ran back to the crib and he left his homie sitting out there. You know, saying like, bro, you know what I mean? Like, come on, dog.
You know, probably no one believed him. No one believed him.
You said what?
No one believed him. Everyone's like, those little ones we always tear into pieces.
Right. Shut your bitch ass up. I know, you know what I'm saying? ain't none of that. You know what I'm saying? You just scared. And they go out there and they got the boom stick. You feel me? Like, just the noise of it. Dude, as scary as bears are, dude, you shoot a gun, a bear will run, bro. Mm-hmm. Like that is, bro. Like they'll have like people that go, you know, fishing or out in those areas with where bears, like brown bears are, which are like, come on, grizzly bears get the like, why do you exist on the same planet as me? But like they'll pull out, they'll have like a magnum and they'll shoot that thing at the ground like fire, and a bear be like, oh. it'll run away on 2 feet with his hands flying today. Like, I'm sorry, you know what I mean? Talking in like a, you know, higher octaves and shit. Like bears don't even fuck with the boomstick, you know what I mean? They put it, you put that fire out and a monster will run. So like, Yeah, dog. Like, yeah, I was like, dude, how did animals feel when the first human came with that fire?
Must have been bullshit. It'd be like if I was walking around the neighborhood and a cat shot me. You know what I mean? It's just like, I never perceived you as a threat before.
Right. Goddamn cat hopping out with the motherfucking shotgun out there.
Right. Like, hold like, up, bro.
When did this dynamic shift? What the fuck is going on
that, here? Imagine how that changed things, though.
Yeah.
Like how we were killing animals before. Like a bear came, we came with a fucking stick and, you know, like, the bear's like, ha! Oh! Then that stick, you know what I'm saying, shoots a bullet out of it. You know, like, oh, hold up. You know, I'm sorry, my brother. Let me tippy-toe my big bear ass up out of here. You know what I mean? I know we was playing like that. Shit ain't sweet no more. You know what I mean? So,
all right, man. We were going to introduce a new segment tonight, but I think Animal Kingdom replaced it. So I think that's the show for today. People have no idea, bro. You guys, I feel like you guys could talk about wildlife for like, that could really be its own show.
Look, look, dude, you know how, look at my face. I'm dead serious right now. If you can't see me, you can hear me. No, if you want to start a wildlife show, bro, I'm telling you, bro. Like, do you know how much it... Pure joy. It would be the dream of my life to participate in that. Do you understand? You think I like basketball? You know what I'm saying? See me watch a damn, you know, Animal Planet. You feel me? Like, oh my God, I can't believe the shit that's going on in this planet blows my fucking mind. Oh my God.
All right, we'll be back for our next episode of Jenkins.
We even talked about sports.
Presented, but we did. Right, we talked about sports for a good while. You know,
we talked about what we cared about, and that's what's most important.
That is always the most important.
Always.
We will be back again on Monday for another episode of Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network.
Y'all be cool.